Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. We're going to be doing a series starting on April the 6th, four messages, taking in Good Friday and Easter as well, and it's going to be all about welcome home. And you know something, the whole thing that the Father did through Jesus and his ministry was he gave us access to himself again, and he gave him access to us again, because he wants to be home here. This is his home, and he wants us to be at home with him. So the Easter is all about a restoration of that wonderful family relationship, and really Easter is all about welcome home. And so we're going to give you some materials, put some things in your hand, because we want to fill this place overflowing with people who need to hear the message, welcome home. And you know people, you're living with people, you're working with people, and need to hear the message, welcome home. They really do. So we're going to have that there. You can go to that place, our Vimeo spot. You can put it on your Facebook, all that stuff, send it out to hundreds of people. But let's fill this place with people who need to hear about the goodness of God. Can I get an amen? All right. Okay, man, we're going to jump into the Word this morning. Who's excited? All right, today we're going to talk about design for impact. And just the last several weeks, just trying to cover some things that, some falsehoods, some things in our minds that hinder us from being all that God wants us to be. And today I want to deal basically with the whole idea that, you know, you're not significant, or you can't do much, or, you know, well, your life doesn't mean that much. I want to eliminate that once and for all, because you are remarkable and you are amazing, and we shouldn't leave it up to, God's not looking for superstars and heroes and big folks. He's looking for you, and he's designed you to be you, uniquely you, to manifest something that only you can do, or else, man, you're just unnecessary. And you're not unnecessary. You're amazing, and you're brilliant, and you were designed to make an impact. Can I get an amen? All right, come on, we're going to jump in. You know, what can one person do? What can one person do? Well, you know, when I went to Haiti, and I may have told you this, but when we're in Haiti, we pulled up to a high school, and it's where our kids, when they graduate from the school we have, they go on to this high school. And so I didn't even know we were going there. We pulled up to this iron door. They pulled it open, and there was a whole bunch of kids doing school. And I went, wow, look at that. And then all of a sudden, they dragged me right up in front of the grade 13 class, and I'm standing there in my shorts and T-shirt because I thought I was going to paint a wall. And, hey, how are you? So it's this little fat guy from Canada in his shorts and jeans in front of the class, and they're all in their uniforms and everything, and I'm like, hey! And so they didn't even ask me to say anything. They just said, any questions? And I'm like, what's the subject? You know, so there's one really tall boy. He stood up, and he went, what are you here for? I was like, I was going to ask the same thing. But, you know, I realized that I quickly caught on that he's probably had some little fat guys from Canada come before with cameras and take pictures, and nothing ever changed. It was just another person wandering into his space. But what are you here for? You know, and I'm like, what am I here for? Wow. And so I got that, you know, and Jake, not Jacob, but John was like, you know, I saw that John quickly in French rebuked the guy. Hey, don't talk to him. He's like, that is your guest. And I went, no, it's all right. It's good. And I said, I'm here because of John. I'm here because I met John, and I wanted to get into John's world. I wanted to become a friend of his. I wanted to build a relationship with him because I sense and I taste of the spirit of this man that he is going to really change things in this nation. And so I'm here because I want to build a relationship with him, because I know I have the ability to help him do what needs to be done in Haiti. And I'm excited about this relationship. And that's why I'm here. And why I'm here standing in front of you today, I'm not quite sure, but I am here, and I'll answer any of your questions. And he started going on, and he kind of went down that thing again. I mean, what can you do for me? And I went, that's a great question. I go, what can I do for you? I actually can do things for you. I actually can, just like I can do things for John, and we are doing things for John. I'm in a place where I'm a little bit more privileged, and therefore, because of that, I have a responsibility to be faithful and to minister wherever I can. And so I actually can do something for you. And I said, here's my email, here's my card, here it is, and I want you to email to me who you are. And I want you to tell me who you are. And I actually do have the ability to do something for you. And if you will email me and tell me who are you and put a demand, because I can do something, I want to do something for you, but I want you to tell me who you are, what it is you're going to do, what it is about this nation that you love, and how you're going to shift and change this nation, and I really will. And I gave the email to the whole grade 13 class. Sadly, not one of them emailed me. I was a little disappointed in that. I was actually hoping that I would have seen an email from him even before I left Haiti. And I was a little disappointed he didn't do something, because I really can. I've got the ability, even if it's $500 or $1,000 or whatever, I've got the ability to help change his world and maybe open a door for his education or do something. But I was really hoping he put a demand on that, because I said, you are significant. You're amazing. And I'm looking for people who believe that they're born in Haiti for a purpose and that they can shift and change this nation. I was a little disappointed I didn't get an email, because I believe in them. And I was so thrilled, and I said, I'm so honored to stand in front of people full of life and full of youth who literally, one of you can change the world right now. I said, you know, whenever a change has happened in history, it has begun in the heart of one person. Everything in history has shifted and changed for good or for bad. It's all began in the heart of one individual. I said, one individual can make a massive difference in the world. Can I get an amen? That means you folks right here, there is incredible potential in this room. I mean, awesome. I was going to say nasty potential, but there's that too. But there's awesome potential in this room for you to do great things. Well, what can one person do? Well, history, so many times in history, we see that one person made a big difference. Look at this. One vote caused Charles I of England to be executed. One vote. It was just one. It's like he's standing there going, what do you say? And he went, off with his head. One vote gave America the English language instead of German. Can you imagine? One vote tipped the scale that they were trying to figure out, should we make the national language English or German? One vote. That was in 1776. They had to determine, what are we going to do? Are we going to make, is it going to be one language? Will it be English? Will it be German? Let's vote on it. And it was a one vote edge, one vote over to English. Isn't that amazing? Imagine that one person, it came down to them and they could have gone, English. It was that close. One person make a massive difference. One vote brought Texas into the Union. One vote brought Texas into the Union. One vote saved President Andrew Jackson from impeachment in 1868. One vote in 1923 gave Adolf Hitler control of the Nazi Party in Germany. One vote, that one stinking individual. One person. One vote. You are significant. I mean, in whatever you're engaged in, God didn't create you for nothing. You're the retina of your eye, your DNA, your fingerprints. There's so much about you that is absolutely brilliant and unique. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you were created for incredible purpose. Amen. The front row's excited. It's awesome. Front row, all of the front row is so excited. All right. A woman named Esther laid down her life to save her people. The Jewish people have a whole feast that they celebrate now because of one woman who stood up and said, you know, if I got to lay down my life, so be it. She says, if I die, who cares? I am going to take responsibility right now. I'm going to rise up and I'm going to make a change for my people. One person changed that whole day. One person named Esther. One little shepherd boy named David. One person. I mean, you had two armies lined up. But one person went out, killed that giant, and the Philistines were routed. They had a great victory. Just one person, one teenager with a slingshot ran at a giant, and he changed the nation's destiny in a day. One little baby was born in the womb of one little girl who said yes to an impossibility that I'm going to borrow your womb, and God is going to enter into the affairs of earth. One person. One person did that, you know, and it's still all about one person. It's all about you. It's not about, you know, paying the God bill, doing the Sunday thing and doing this so I can get to heaven. God is, it's God's priority is not to get you into heaven. God's priority is to get heaven into you. And then through that experience of him being enthroned in your life is to invade your world with his presence and with his life. And nothing is impossible with God. And then Jesus said, nothing is impossible to those who believe. Any believers in the room today? So we're looking to fire up some believers. You know, I was looking this week and we wanted to look for a title for our conference, and we were trying to figure out what we're going to call it. And we really wanted to talk to people beginning with grace and apostolic grace, and then moving there from that to, you know, to an individual hearing the voice of God. And then hearing the voice of God isn't enough. You've got to hear what's going on in the community. So you got to hear God's voice, but you got to hear their voice. We got to be connected to God because God wants you connected to him because he loves community. So we want to understand the grace of God. We want to be a people who know how to hear the voice of God and partner with his purpose. We want to hear what's happening in our communities. We want to release that. Then we want to be authentic believers, but we want those authentic believers to live authentic lives. And then we want to have history makers established. And then to realize all of that, we're going to have the last session of apostolic impartation. Man, what an amazing conference. I was like, this is exciting. I cannot wait for this conference because I know all that's going to go down. I'm excited. But I said, what are we going to call that? And we had threw a few names around, threw out a few stuff. And we were calling apostolic this and apostolic that. And I was like, apostolic impartation. No, that's not quite it. Although I want impartation. There's more. There's got to be a connection to this. And people threw things around. And Dan emailed me, said apostolic emergency. And I went, I actually feel that. I feel the apostolic. I feel emergency. Although emergency may. And that pushed me to urgency. And I went, apostolic urgency. You know, and look at this, urgency. Urgency is an earnest and persistent quality insistence. And it comes from urgent. Urgent is requiring immediate action or attention. An earnest and persistent response to a pressing critical situation. And I really think that there needs to be some apostolic urgency right now. I think an apostolic people got to rise up, that we got a responsibility right now. What's going on out there is urgent. I mean, my goodness, we lost an airplane. Nobody can find it. And there's things happening in the world that are causing people a whole lot of concern and frustration. But I tell you, we are a people who can make a massive difference in the world today. And we are all, every one of us, fully equipped to do divine and supernatural exploits to manifest the goodness of God. Settle down. I know that's exciting. All right, urgency and apostolic urgency. Last week we talked about, finished up with 2 Corinthians 6:2. He said, indeed, the right time is now. Indeed, the right time is now. You remember that? I mean, there's Pharaoh, he's got the frogs, and Moses said, at your word, you can be done with these frogs. At your word, when would you like him to go? Tomorrow. You know, people will spend more time with the frogs. People get comfortable hanging out with the frogs. Some people get comfortable with the frogs in their own life, and they've made friends with the frogs. And, you know, it's not so bad. I'm able to, you know, still carry on and still put up with these frogs. But, you know, there's an urgency today, right now. Now, today is the day of salvation. And every day is, wherever you are, at work, at play, at home, shoveling your driveway. God forbid that we have to do that again. But, I mean, wherever you are, there's an urgency right now. I pray you get a sense of urgency about the affairs of God and the affairs of the kingdom, and a sense of just fascination with how incredible you are and the potential that God has to operate in and through you. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Exodus chapter 3. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus is right near the beginning. Genesis is there, and then you flip from Genesis, and you'll come right to the book of Exodus. So we're going to look at Exodus chapter 3. All right, going to start right at verse 1, and we're going to start reading. Say amen. Get your Bibles out. Don't be afraid, because it's not all going to be on the screen. No, don't want you to be lazy. You know, oh, you're not going to put it all on the screen. Get your phone, whatever it is. Come on, let's read this. Let's look at the scripture, because we're going to read the whole chapter 3 and a good part of chapter 4. Are you ready? Amen. All right, chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses, now. Don't you love that word now? I just love whenever I see the word now, and it's amazing how often you'll see it in the Word of God. But now Moses, because it was a now moment. It was a kairos moment. It was a divine moment of God. It was a time of urgency. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now a bush burning up in the heat of the desert was not really that spectacular, because he could turn and go, poof, oh look, a bush caught fire, poof, it's gone. That might happen every once in a while. But the thing was that this bush came afire, but then the fire was burning all around it, and the bush was not consumed. There was a flame. There was something going on that was not natural. Something supernatural was going on, and Moses is like, wow, that's neat, and he kept, no, he stopped, and he paid attention to it, and then he said, I'm going to turn aside, I'm going to see, verse 3, I'm going to turn aside and see this great sight. Say, turn aside. Now, there's a lot of times people see something fast, they say, that's neat, but then they keep on tracking with their life. I mean, how many times do we miss burning bushes in our lives? How many times do we miss opportunities because we're so consumed with what we're doing and there's no sense of urgency in our lives, and we don't even see the fascinating things all around us? But you see, he decided, I'm not just going to go, wow, that was cool, but I'm going to turn aside and I want to see what is going on. What is this all about? So he turned aside and he wanted to see why the bush does not burn up. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside, see that? Listen. What happened when the Lord saw that he turned aside? See, the Lord didn't speak, hey, turn over here. The Lord showed a sign, but it was when he turned aside that the Lord saw that. See, the Lord's looking for people to pay attention. He's looking for people to turn aside. He's looking for people that are so caught up in their own lives that they can't see the spectacular and wonderful that is waiting to break out all around them. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, he called to Moses from the midst of the bush and he said, Moses, Moses. That was pretty good, eh? And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take the sandals off your feet, for the place whereon you are, whereon you stand, is holy ground. This is holy ground. Verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God, because they understood and they were taught that if you see God, you're dead. So he's like, oh my. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. Hear that now. Listen, listen. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. See, that's one of the things about hearing the voice of God. Generally, when you hear the voice of God, the reason you're hearing it is because there's a divine assignment attached to it. I mean, you may right away, one of the things you need to hear clearly from God is that I love you and that I'm for you and that I bless you. And you know, when God speaks, you hear that a lot because he's nuts about you and he loves to tell you he loves you and he's for you. But you know, when you have these encounters, whenever God's glory was manifest, there was always a voice. Whenever the glory in his presence was manifest, God spoke. He spoke something of eternal significance and purpose. So God spoke, and look what he said. He said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to the good and large land. Come on. Good and large. Say good and large. God's going to bring you into something. You know, this is the old covenant. This was the type. This was the shadow. If God's going to bring his people into good and large, you should always expect gooder and largerer. Supersize me. Yes, sirree, Bob. Boy, come on. Good and large. I'm going to bring you into a place that is good and large. A land flowing with milk and honey. A place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Termites, Mosquitoites, whateverites, all the ites, all the Jebusites, all that. He said, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Listen, God sees the pain and the suffering and what's going on in the world today. He sees it. But you see, for God to do something about it, he's got to find somebody. For God to change something in the earth today, he's got to find somebody. Is somebody here today? And so he found Moses. He said, Moses, I've seen this. Moses, I'm ready to act on this. He said, look, I have come down to deliver them. I've come down to free them. Now, therefore, behold, he said, now, verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I? That's the first problem right there. A lot of times God speaks to us and he calls us out and says, I want to use you. And that's the first negative response. Well, who am I? And I don't want you to ever say, who am I? You got to say, here I am. I'm awesome. And I'm ready. You know, don't never say that. I mean, God is ready. God, you know, in heaven, it's all about you. In heaven, they're constantly writing papers. Did you see what they did yesterday? Woo, that was so awesome. Woo, there's a whole cloud of witnesses looking in going, man, I wish I were on the floor right now, but they are. Aren't they awesome? You got the Apostle Paul going, whoa, this is some good stuff going on right here. You got David going, man, look what these folks are doing. I mean, it is all about you. It's about you. But Moses said, who am I that I should go on the floor right now and make a difference in my day? Who am I that I could actually impact my high school? Or who am I that I could in any way touch the college? Who am I that I could in any way be used in my workplace? I mean, who am I that I could actually touch this neighborhood I live in? Who am I that I could actually shift the nation? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I mean, you want to take me right into the ruler of all things. I mean, I know this guy. I was raised by this guy. I was raised in his home. And I know that if he sees me again, he wants to kill me. I mean, yikes. Who am I? He said that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. This is a big project. So he said, I will certainly be with you. Come on. I will certainly be with you. How many know that's good? What did Jesus say? I will be with you to the very end of the age. Wow. He said, I will be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you, because here's the sign. You're going to be with those people at this mountain one day, and you're going to know I am God, and I can do anything. And he said, I'm going to bring you out to this mountain. Then Moses said, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them that the God of your fathers has sent me, and they will say to me, what's his name? I mean, who is this guy? And what shall I say to them then? I mean, who am I to go? And I mean, who will I say sending me? He says, listen, say to them, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel that the I am has sent you. Amen. Aren't you glad his name is I am? Not I was and not I will be, but I am. I am here right now to change your situation. I am with you right now. I am the deliverer. I am the one who can set you free. I am present to change your circumstances. I am powerful right now. Not I was the resurrection, not I will be the resurrection. But he said, Martha, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Amen. Wow, that's good stuff right there. All right, let's jump on. Moreover, he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel. He says, I'm in the right spot. The Lord your God, the Father of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, have sent me to you. There is my name. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Verse 16, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, has appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you, and I've seen what is done to you in Egypt. People need to know that God's back. People need to know that 2,000 years ago, he stepped into the situation and that he's changed the circumstances forever. That everything you need necessary for your freedom, for your deliverance, it's done. He is back. We don't got to wait. He's back now, and he is ready to invade your situation. People need to know he's back. I love it when Jesus was in Peter's mother-in-law's house and everybody was healed and the people yelled out, he's back and he cares about us. People need to know he's back and he cares right now, and he's ready to act on your behalf. Listen, it says then, verse 18, let's go down there. He says, then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now please, very polite, isn't it? Please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may party with God. That's what it means. We want a party. God wants to have a party in the wilderness. The God who throws wild parties wants his people to come out and enjoy him. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand, and I will strike Egypt with my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. I'm telling you, it's time for us to release some signs and some wonders. It's time for us to walk out and loose the kingdom wherever we go. Because, you know, the enemy doesn't want to give up. He's not just, he is defeated, but you know what? He will hang out and camp out and hold on to the stuff until we take it. You know, that was like back in the World War II. It says there were many prison camps in the Philippines and stuff like that, that well after the war was over, they still kept the prisoners. And it wasn't until, you know, soldiers showed up the gates and said, hey, the war is over. And, you know, the Japanese dropped their guns and let everybody go. But you know what? They had been freed years before, or not years before, but months earlier. They were free, but many of them were still in captive. And there's many people out there. Freedom has already been declared. The penalty has been paid. Sin has been dealt with. All sin. Behold the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the whole world. Not just the sin that gets confessed, but he took all of it. You see, and people need to know that it's all gone. So here's their confession. I agree, he took all my sin and I'm free. And it's done. I'm telling you, it's done. Freedom is accomplished. It is done. You know, it's time for the people of God to manifest that freedom for sure. And then not only possess it, but walk in it and give it. But here it is. Moses, come on. I want to set my people free. Look at verse 21. He says, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty handed. And that's true, because when they came out, it says they came out with all the silver and all the gold and all the livestock of Egypt. They took it all. Well, that was then. No, this is now. You know, if the shadow was good, how many know that the reality is better? Say, God wants to bless you, knock your socks off, knock you over, tickle you, and laugh in your face every day. Verse 22, but every woman shall ask her neighbor, namely who dwells in her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughter, and you shall plunder the Egyptians. Well, this sounds like a really good story. All right, then Moses answered and said, this is so awesome. When do we start? No, Moses said, but suppose they won't believe me or listen to my voice. I've invited my neighbor to church before. I've, you know, prayed for sick people before. I've tried before. I witnessed once and it wasn't pleasant. Not doing that again. Suppose they don't believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. You don't know God. You don't know nothing. He said, look what he says. The Lord said, what's that in your hand? What? What's that in your hand? See, here's the answer. You ready? Here's the answer. Suppose I tell all of that and I say all of that and they still don't believe me. What do I do then? All right. What's in your hand? Turn to your neighbor and say, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? All right. What's in your hand? What is that? He said, well, it's a rod. It's a rod. So he said, listen, cast it on the ground. He threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. He went, woo! It says Moses fled. Woo! Woo! That's what fled looks like. Woo! Okay. I know that just because I saw Brian running from a spider in Haiti. It was, woo! Woo! Kind of just like that. Anyways, just kidding. He didn't do that. He went, wow! No, so. Anyway, he fled. And then the Lord said, reach out and take the hand by the head. No, he said, take it by the tail. I mean, you got a snake going, whoosh, 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 whoosh. And you know, you're like, and he says, take it by the tail. So you got to take it by the tail. So he takes it. Look. Then the Lord said, reach out by your hand, take it by the tail. And he reached out and he caught it and it became a rod in his hand. Dude, that was pretty cool. He said, look, he said it'll become a rod in his hand. Now, over to verse 5, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. He put it in his bosom. He pulled it out and, leprosy. He said, put it back in. Put it back in. Woo! It was nice again. All right? Just go that with me. Ready? Put it in. Put it back in. Woo! All right? Put it in. Put it back in. Woo! All right. That's good, eh? All right, furthermore, the Lord said, listen, verse 7, he said, put in your hand in your bosom. He put it in again. It was made all clean. Verse 8, then it will be that if they don't believe you nor heed the message of the first sign, and they may believe then from the latter sign. And he said, it shall be, if they do not believe even two signs, he said, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land, and the water which you take from the river will be blood on the dry land. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord. That's some awesome stuff. When do we get started? No. He said, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I was trained by the very best schools in Egypt. I was trained by the best there could. I was raised in the most eloquent of circumstances, in the most wonderful and beautiful of places. I'm not eloquent. The Lord's like, oh my goodness. Yeah, it's okay for Pastor Carl, you know, maybe Pastor Cheryl and some of those other folks, but I don't know. You know, I can barely keep 3 or 4 thoughts running together most of the time. You know, like, you should know Jesus. Why? I don't know. I'm not doing that again. A lot of people are fearful, saying, I can't do it. I mean, who am I? I mean, all of these objections that Moses brings up, he says, I am not eloquent. I'm not eloquent. I mean, what am I going to do? He said, I'm not eloquent. He said, neither. He said, look, I'm slow of tongue. I mean, come on, give me a break. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth or who has made man mute or deaf? He said, listen, he said, I'm going to work all this out for you. And boom, boom, he works it all out. He says, get your brother. He can be your spokesman. Let's go all the way over to Verse 20. You ready? We'll go to verse 18. So Moses went, amen, and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law. He said to him, please let me go to return to Egypt. And he said, see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said, go in peace. Verse 19. Now. I like that word. Don't you like that word? Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead. Then Moses took his wife and his sons, and he set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So I want you to see something here. It's amazing how when he was reluctant to do something, he says, I mean, how are we going to do this? How are they going to believe? He said, what's in your hand? He took what was the rod of Moses in his hand. But when he surrendered that to God, he picked it back up, and it was the rod of God. You have things that God has put in your hands. You've got callings and giftings and abilities and strengths that God has put in your hand. And you know, when you surrender them to God and you pick them up again, they will be supernaturally empowered to manifest his kingdom. And talents and abilities you have, if you hang on to them and you keep them yourself and you don't release them to God, then you're never going to see the brilliance and the supernatural things of God in your life. So I'm going to encourage you right now. Here's some of the I wills. God said, I will be with you. There's all kinds of I wills. I mean, God's like, I will, I will, I will. He's trying to convince him. He said, I will be with you. I will bring you out. I will stretch out my hand. I will give you favor. He said, my presence will be there. My power will be there. My protection will be there. My provision will be there. Everything you need to do this job, I am fully going to give you. So he gives them all the I wills, and he tells them, I'm going to make this happen. Now, there's the three signs. Look at the three signs just quickly with me. The three signs, the rod becomes a snake. That's power over the snake. That's power over the devil. Folks, you have power over the devil. I put it on my Facebook this week. I was surprised how many people liked it and shared it, and they were excited about it. But look what it says in Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority. I give you authority over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I mean, that's just so simple, isn't it? Well, behold, I give you authority and over all. Say over all. Over, what does all mean? I looked up all. You know what all means? It means all. You know, you got anything in your life that is not kingdom, anything in your life that is encroaching upon the manifestation of the finished work of God's cross and resurrection in your life, anything, you have authority over that. If any aspect, if there's any creeping or manifestation of the pit of hell or the devil or his work in your life, it has no authority to be there. You have authority over all the power of the enemy. And listen, when you go to confront that and say, that's enough, you don't have to be afraid, because nothing will by any means hurt you. That's one of the biggest lies the devil says. You touch me, I'll take you out. You start picking on me, and you start trying to address these areas in your life, you growl at me, I'll growl bigger. So you try. You better not mess with me. You get ugly for all your life. All right, we're just going to, you stay there, I'll stay here, and God's going to get me out of here soon. So you just keep off, keep away. I mean, keep back, devil, keep back. You can spend your whole life, keep back, devil, keep back, devil. Are you kidding? You have authority over all the power of the devil. And when you take authority over that, nothing will by any means harm you. And some of you, boop, I'm afraid that popping up is a lie right from the pit of hell, because I've not given you a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. It's an awful thing when the army of God is afraid of the enemy. I mean, the people of God were standing at the Philistines going, nah, 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 our champion's going to kill you. We're going to whoop you. And all this, they're like, they're all dressed up but don't want to fight. And then one little shepherd boy comes down and said, what's happening here? Who's that guy? Hey, what do I get if I kill him? Oh, stop it. Are you kidding? This is a no-brainer. He's not got a covenant. I got a covenant. All I got to do is show up. He's a dead man. I mean, a kid running at him. I mean, it's amazing. It's like going after Moby Dick with a spoon and a jar of tartar sauce. Woo! Hello. Hello. Devil! Come on. Fear not, for I'm with you. Come on, I'll never leave you. You got power. 1 John 4:4, he who is in you is greater than he's in the world. Yeah, but son, you got to be careful. I know he's greater, but you know, got to be careful where you pick a fight. Are you kidding? It's like you got this great big towering champion walking with you everywhere you go. And hey, I didn't tell you to pick that fight. I know, but I picked it anyway. You know, because I saw in the word that you don't like sickness. Well, that's true. Okay. I mean, there's so many places in the Bible where people picked the fight anyway, and God showed up because he loved it. That was awesome. Look at that. I mean, the Syrophoenician woman, Jesus said, look, it's outside of the parameters of my ministry right now. I'm only sent to Israel. And she said, I can see past that. I can see that if you are who you say you are, you don't want to just touch a group of people. You want to touch everyone. And I'm going to tug right now. I'm going to tug even on the future that you are a good God. And I know that you can do something. You can deliver my daughter too. Well, I can't. The bread is for the children. He says, well, even the dogs get crumbs from the table. He said, whoa, she pulled one right out of me. You know, he loves it when you initiate the fight. Oh, no, you know, don't do. He loves it when I'm going to go big this time. You ready? I'm going to go big. He's going, oh, I'm not that big. Oh, not that great. You know, no. He said, nothing is impossible to them that believe. You got to get out into the impossible. You got to get out into some crazy places if you're going to experience what faith can pull out of the supernatural. Amen. All right. Those of you who want to stay in your fear and bondage, bless you. God bless you. Send me an email later. All right. Power over the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Number two, the hand, leprous being restored. I really think that shows us we got power over sickness. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins. He did it. He in himself, he bore our sins once and for all in his own body on his tree, that we having died to sins, we're dead to sins. Why? Because I'm in him. I've identified with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I am dead. I am dead to sin. Done. I no longer am under that covenant at all. I'm under a new covenant, a covenant of life. By whose stripes you were healed. Ah, ooh. Ah, ooh. Number three, just really quick. Water turns into blood. I tell you, that's for me, that's a sign of it's a manifestation of the future of the covenant that we have in the blood of Jesus, and his blood, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness once and for all and forever. So now we've been called to manifest these things. We've been called, even as he was given signs to manifest that God is who he said he is, we've been given these abilities. We've been given these gifts. We've been given these powers. We've been given the blood, the name of Jesus, the power and the authority in the name of Jesus. We've been given all these things so that we can manifest our authority and that we can go out and we can change the world. And we've got that power. We've been given that ability, and it's time for us to get with the program. Matthew chapter 28, 18 and 20. All right, I'm giving you just a little piece up there, but listen, when's the last time you read the Great Commission? When's the last time you looked at it and said, what am I supposed to be doing anyways? You ready? Sometimes we just turn away from that. We get stuck in all kinds of other things, but this is really what it's all about. When Jesus left, he said, now that I'm going away, guys, I'll be coming back. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you, and while you're here, I want you to take over, all right? I want you to fill the earth with me. Here's your job. You ready? And Jesus came and spoke to them. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations. Disciple all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. The age, the age, the age. Hallelujah. I mean, this is Moses. Go and set my people free. Jesus saying, now go and set the nations free. Mark 16, 15 to 18. And he said to them, go. Turn to your neighbor and say, go. Two-thirds of God's name is go. Pretty powerful stuff right there. Go. And he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow the apostles and the prophets and the great men and women of God. Yay. Now these signs will follow those who believe. Do you believe? You're qualified to kick the devil in the head. You're qualified to command sickness to go. You're qualified to set the captives free. You're qualified to demonstrate the kingdom. Woo! Okay, settle down over there. You guys, some of you youth getting too excited. All right. Come on. In my name, you will cast out demons. Well, how many demons did you cast out this week? I had 17, so how many did you? Not that I'm counting. I might get a couple today just before you go. Come out of that demon. You know, casting out a demon doesn't have to be anything weird. I was delivered through a hug. Somebody hugged me, and literally demonic things were displaced in my life. I could hear them on the other side of the room. Oh, what happened? How come we're out here? I went, wow, I'm free. It doesn't have to be some big, spooky, creepy thing. You loose the love of God, and the love of God will deliver people everywhere you go. It doesn't have to be, all right, we're going to enter into a deliverance session with you now, brother. Hallelujah. All right, I got the holy oil. Some holy water. Come out! I want your name right now. Tell me who you are. Don't lie to me. Tell me who you are. My name's Fred. That's not Fred. You're lying to me. I'm a lying spirit. What's your name? Bob. It's not Bob. I'm a lying spirit. It's Frida. What a waste of time. Give the person a hug and get it done with. Hello. I used to do all that stuff. You know what it was? Exhausting. Because you know what? They'd come back next week and they'd come back with, name yourself. Well, now I'm Fred and I'm his cousin Bob. And I brought some other people with me this time. I'm like, oh my God. Because see, I thought it was a power encounter that I gotta deliver these people. Hallelujah. But then I sent them back home and they came back with more the next week. And then the next week it was worse. And then the next week I was like, my God. Then the next week I had to call two friends. But was I ever important? I cast out devils. I do it with a shakamahai from 100 paces. Shakamahai! Chopped off his head, hung it on my wall. My office just got, it's off. Anyways, I've digressed. How many know I've digressed? I slipped into something that I don't even know why I got. Anyway. Wow, stop it. Yay, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. They will cast out demons, amen? Amen. All right. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents and they will drink any deadly. That doesn't mean you should do that. That means that you will be in places where there's some kind of attack or an attempt on your life where you're going to be fine. My wife was in Cuba, and when she was there, she boiled a pot of boiling water to make some tea in her room, and she picked up the pot and the pot fell and hot scalding water went, boiling water went all over. And she said, in the name of Jesus, and there wasn't even a red mark. Because you know what, when you're serving the purpose of God, which means every moment of your life, you know what, no, his angels keep charge over me. And Linda laughing at me, it's terrible. I have a frail ego. We talked about that already, didn't we? Cast that devil out of me. Whoop! Hey, how'd I get over here? Anyways, okay, so. They will speak with new tongues, Shaka Mahai. Hallelujah. They will take up serpents, drink any deadly thing, but it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Hallelujah. And that's the believers. Any believers here today? Loosen the kingdom every day. All right, I got stuff to talk about today. I got to get there. All right. Bang, bang. All right. A simple staff becomes an instrument of power and authority. A simple staff becomes an instrument of power and authority. How many have a staff at home? How many have a computer? How many have a car? How many have a job? How many have a backyard? You know, it doesn't have to be some weird, creepy thing. Generally, you already have in your life. God has already equipped you with whatever he needs to fulfill his purpose in your life. You're not waiting for it to arrive. Your destiny is not out there somewhere. Or I got to go to this meeting with Brother Gobberbreath. And when I go to the meeting with Brother Gobberbreath, he's going to lay hands on me and I will be released into my ministry. Hallelujah. He's going to give me all kinds of tools to go change the world. Are you kidding? God created you. He designed you already. You are pre-wired to do supernatural things. And go hear Brother Gobberbreath. And that's wonderful. And be encouraged and built up and edified. But you know what? God has already built you and pre-wired you with an incredible destiny. All right, so here he is. He takes that staff, and with that staff, he confronts Pharaoh. With that staff, he turns the Nile into blood. With that staff, he parts the Red Sea. With that staff, he hits a rock and water to nourish millions comes out. With that staff, he lifts it in the air, and a whole army is destroyed. That staff that was just a staff to help him walk and take care of his sheep, that staff became the rod of God. What's in your hand? There's things in iPhone. There's stuff. There's things in your hand. There are things that God, if you'll give it to him, he'll turn it into something powerful and something wonderful. Now, what if Moses hadn't surrendered his staff? A nation stays in slavery. Thousands still in bondage. Why? I mean, God would, we'd have never heard of Moses. We'd have never heard of Moses. The staff would have not become the rod of God. When you surrender these things to God, that's when it's resurrected and powerful. I don't care about your giftings all done in your own strength and your own ability. I care when you lay it down and you surrender it to God. And he hands it back to you, supercharged and empowered to change the world. Amen, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. In your hand, it has no eternal significance. In your hand, it doesn't mean anything. What's happening while you cling to what's in your hand? Well, I'm gifted. Hallelujah. I know I got abilities. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just waiting to be released. Glory. You know, there's a lot of people still hanging on to it, and you're still clinging to the gift yourself because it's still all about you. You see, pride, it's mine, and then fear, I'm no good, I'm not useful. Those two things hinder people from being released. But you know what? There's a pile of people out there waiting to experience freedom when you surrender the gifts and callings and purpose of God to him so that he can give them back to you, supercharged with his anointing to cause breakthrough. What are you shouting about, Pastor? I'm shouting about a world in need that needs you to show up with the glory of God. And a few people were sleeping and they needed that. That was pretty much it. Paul's in Christ. Look at this. In Christ. Over 130 times in the Bible. This is one of my favorite. Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in him. You are complete in him. Folks, you are complete in him. Look what it says. That word plero, it means to be made complete in every particular, to render perfect, to carry through to the end, to accomplish, to carry out fully. You are complete in him. You don't need some other little thing. You are complete in him. You know, you may need to take your gifts and submit them and lay them down and maybe get some training, maybe get some help. But you know, when you surrender those things to God for his purpose, it's already there. You are complete in him. You are in every particular in him. You've been rendered perfect. Oh, settle down. I got to finish. Hallelujah. Now listen, God has uniquely equipped every single person. He's resourced every one of us for his purpose. 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one. Turn to your neighbor, say, each one. And say, that means you. Means you. You know, if something's going to happen around here, it's because each one gets activated and gets on with this. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. What? To say, look at me, use my gift. Woo, woo, woo. Aren't I amazing? No, it's to serve others. You know, your gift becomes powerful when you esteem others better than yourself and you want to bless their lives. You want to see them come into fullness. It's to serve others, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms, which means it's going to be, there's going to be a variety, and it's unique and it's wonderful, and it's not going to be all people looking the same and all packaged the same. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to manifest in many, many different ways, and you don't have to be like everybody else. Be yourself. It's beautiful to demonstrate as you are. Hallelujah. Give me another screen. I'm on a roll. Hallelujah. Okay, what's in your hand? Shamgar. How many of you Shamgar? Shamgar, it says Shamgar, the son of Anath, he slew 600 Philistine men with an ox goad. He delivered Israel. He delivered Israel with an ox goad. How many know what an ox goad is? How many know what a henway is? Hen weighs about 3 pounds. Okay, so, but how many know what a henlay is? A hen lays eggs. Okay, so, but an ox goad is when you're on top of the cart and the ox is pulling the cart and he's not moving fast enough, you go, you poke him with an ox goad. Well, this guy, he says, wow, the Philistines are attacking. We should destroy these people. What do I got? What's in your hand? I got an ox goad. He delivered the people of Israel with an ox goad. Everybody get an ox goad and say amen. So a church started the next week, the Church of the Ox Goad, and they all got ox goads. What's in your hand? Look at another one, you ready? Here's Samson, Judges 15:15. Here he is, there's a whole bunch of Philistines. Let's look around. I got an old brittle donkey jaw. That'll break as soon as I use it, but there's a fresh one. A fresh jawbone. If you're ever in a fight and you need a jawbone, pick the fresh one. All right? If you don't hear anything else today, hear that. If you're ever in a fight, get the fresh jawbone. because the brittle one, that's not going to be good. But listen, he reached out his hand, he took it, and he killed 1,000 Philistines with a fresh jawbone. What's in your hand? You already are equipped to change the whole situation. You got what's in your hand. Look at this. Look now. Look. David. We talked about David. Remember what's in his hand? Saul said, here, take my armor. Then David said, forget that. I'll kill him with my slingshot. What's in your hand? Slingshot. He knew how to use that. What's in your hand? He knew how to do it. He took it. He took his gift, his ability. Remember it was Joash, I think. It was Joash came and he said, shoot arrows out the window. Well, why do you think he said, shoot arrows out the window? Because Joash had come with a bow and arrow. Why? Because Joash was familiar with a bow and arrow. Joash knew how to do that. He put his hand on the bow and arrow, and then the hand of God, the hand of the man of God, came over top of it. He said, now release. See, he said, take the gifting that you have, the gifting that is already in your life. If you will use that and maximize it, you will set a whole nation free. What's in your hand? The slingshot was in his hand. What's in your hand, young man? What's in your hand, young man? Look, here it was. 5,000 people, men. If there's 5,000 men, how many know if there's 5,000 men, there's 15,000 women? And if there's 15,000 women, there's 20,000 kids. Anyways, we had like a whole little city had followed Jesus into the wilderness, and everybody's hungry, and the disciples are like, there is no McDonald's nearby. There's no, you know, golden, what do they call that? Golden Corral, Brian? You love the Golden Corral, don't you, Brian? Hey, man, there's nothing around. I mean, we're in a desperate place. You need to send these people away. Next thing you know, they'll be asking us to feed them. He says, hey, good idea. You give them something to eat. What? Are we supposed to go and buy that much food? What do you got? And then a kid comes up and says, you guys looking for stuff? I got five barley loaves and 2 small fish. Here's a little boy who came out to the meeting, and his mom was smart enough to pack him a little lunch. But he came and says, here, you guys are looking for some food. You can have my lunch. And how many know there wouldn't have been any miracle that day if that little boy didn't give up his lunch? Ah, well, you know, I better go off in the corner and eat this because these folks are hungry. Somebody finds out I got a couple of biscuits here, I'm dead meat. So, no, he showed up and said, hey, take my lunch. I've been listening to this guy teach. I've been listening to what he's been saying. I tell you, here, Jesus, take this. Jesus, well, that's awesome. He said, thank you, Father. He broke it up. And then, you know, the kid who had the 5 little barley loaves and fishes, he left with 12 basketfuls. He got home. Mom goes, what are you doing, boy? What's going on with that? You steal that for somebody? He says, no, I gave Jesus my lunch, and he gave me back a tractor load of stuff. How awesome is that? What's in your hand, young man? What's in your hand? One more. You ready? What's in your hand, Dorcas? Don't you love that name, Dorcas? I have a friend named Dorcas. I do. I have a friend in Toronto named Dorcas. I just love that name. Hey, Dorcas. And it's not offensive. I'm not being rude to her at all. In fact, I'm speaking very politely. Hey, Dorcas. You know, it's awesome. What a name. All right. Amen, Dorcas. See, it's rude if you're not Dorcas, right? Dorcas, you know. Anyways, that's okay. Come back. Come. What's in your hand, Dorcas? Look at Acts chapter 9. Now, here's Dorcas. Dorcas died. And they went and found the disciple, found the man of God, and they bring him back, and they said, you got to raise her up. What do you mean I got to raise her up? You got to raise her up. See, all the widows were weeping and showing the tunics and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. We cannot live without Dorcas. You have to raise her up. And she was raised up. And Dorcas, in the scriptures, is a significant woman of God who gave of herself, who served widows, who served people in their brokenness with a needle and a thread. I'm waiting to, I am a prophet to the nations, hallelujah. And there are prophets to the nations, and that might be your call. I had a young man in my office, hadn't graduated from, you know, university yet, and I said, so what's happened? What do you see in your future? I'm a prophet to the nation. I say, wow, that's really cool. How many prophets to the nation do you think there are? Like, I might be able to name 2. I don't know, but a prophet to the nations, really. Can you name one? No. I said, well, you need to find one because that's really your destiny. You need to be mentored because that's a pretty cool call. But, and I don't want to challenge that in your life, but have you ever thought of just using what's in your hand? You ever thought of just starting somewhere like right now? I'm waiting until my destiny opens up before me. Hallelujah. You ever thought of giving somebody a ride home? You ever thought about walking by a meter and seeing that it's flashing red and you see the meter guy coming and you go, is that against the law? Well, who cares about the law? Is that on videotape? Just rewind that for a minute, will you? It's a dumb law. You know what? Here's what there's no law against. You ready? Kindness. Against this, there's no law. Kindness, love. You know, there's no law against love. When they start making laws against kindness, we got a problem. I'm running for mayor, by the way, because if that's true, that's really stupid. Anyways, I declared it right here, right now, in front of all you folks. Yeah! All right. Man, that one could come back and whap me. What do you think, Kevin? I got to wrap it up. I'm over time. I'm sorry. I apologize. My goodness, what was I thinking? Give me one more slide. You ready? God never has you until he has what's in your hand. God never has you until he has what's in your hand. God never has you. And when you lay it down, he'll restore it to you with power. If you lay it down, a lot of people are afraid to lay it down. Because, you know, if I lay it down, will I ever have it again? You know what? If you don't lay it down, it'll never do anything significant. But if you lay it down, he will restore it to you. Isaac was the promise. Isaac represented the whole future. He was willing to lay it down. If you lay it down, he'll restore it to you in power. In God's hand, he only needs what's in your hand. What's in your hand? Come on, stand up with me. Go say hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. Come on. Just everybody kind of bow your heads and close your eyes in just a minute here. I don't know everyone here. You could be visiting today or wandered in. And I just want to be sure that you understand what it is to have a relationship with Jesus, because it's all made possible for you. You don't have to leave here today without the knowledge that he's your Lord and he's your Savior. And if you don't know that, I want to pray for you before you go. So listen, nobody's looking around. It's just between you and God. Nobody except for Bobby. Bobby's looking. Bobby. Okay. It's just between you and God. It really is, you know? Now Keith's looking around. Keith, hey, yeah, okay. And you know, that's God. You're here today, and you know what you feel? You feel his presence. You know what you feel? You feel a community of love. You feel a community of acceptance. You feel the family of God, and you know, it's your family. It's where God wants you to be, and he wants you to know him. And you can know him today, clearly know him today as your Lord and your Savior. I just want to pray for you, all right? If you don't know him, you've never made that decision to say, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, then I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, I just want you to put up your hand, all right? Very simply, just saying, Pastor, pray for me as we go. Pray for me, all right? You ready? I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Now just raise your hand up really high, really high. Thank you. Anyone else? Really high. Thank you. Anyone else? Just raise your hand really high. I'm just going to pray for you. It's real simple. But I'll tell you, once we've made that prayer, you can know that your sins are forgiven and you're a child of God. Anyone else, right now, just put up your hand really high. Really high. Come on, let's all pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for dealing with sin. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. Restore me to my Father. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Thank you right now for saving me. I am born again, brand new, restored to you. In Jesus' name, amen. See, if you ever want to know, you can say today. Today, it was March. It was that day. That day I made a decision to be in the family of God. And you can look back and say, it's done. I'm a child of God. And it can never be taken from you. Look at me. Now Bobby's eyes are closed. Look at me. Your sins are forgiven. Past, present, and future. You're a child of God. He loves you. Brought into his family. It's a good thing. All right. Who wants to release what's in your hand today? I want to surrender it to God and say, God, you can use me. I deliver me from not believing I'm awesome. But you can use me for great things. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my job, my career. I surrender what I'm doing to you. I lay it down that you can breathe on it. I don't want to be just a natural worker. I want to be supernatural. I don't want to be a normal accountant. I want to be a supernatural accountant. I don't want to be a normal lawyer. I want to be a supernatural lawyer. I don't want to be a normal plumber. I want to be a supernatural plumber. I don't want to be a normal student. I want to be a supernatural student. I want to take my skills and my abilities, and I want you to breathe on them so that people literally say, why are you so blessed? I mean, why does everything you do seem to have such a divine hand on it? Because there is a divine hand on it. And if you're willing to say, I'm willing to lay it down, I'm telling you today, he will restore it to you. He'll give it back to you, and he will use you, and you'll never be the same. Now, I feel God's hand right here, right now. And please don't just go, oh, that was cool. I'm just going to do it in my seat. I'm just going to kind of do it with myself right now. And I'm going to walk out and go because I got to go. Some of you, there's a destiny attached to it right now. Some of you, there's something very significant. And this is a divine appointment where God's saying, will you lay it down? Will you surrender that to me? It's as big as when God said to Abraham, will you give me Isaac? I love this, though. I want this so much. Will you let it go? Do you trust him to give it back to you better than you could have ever done? In a supernatural way, he will use you. Will, are you willing to put your talents, your gifts, and everything in his hand and really surrender it to him? There's somebody that need to come to the altar today and say, that's me. And the altar's open right now. And if that's you, you need to come because we want to pray with you. You want to surrender that. I want to surrender that to you, Lord. I don't want to just do this on my own strength. I want to do it in a way that everything I do has just a wow factor all over it. Because everything I do, I want it to bring you glory. So you can come right now. You can come. Pitter patter, pitter patter. Don't be afraid to be first or second or third. It's okay. I don't want to be normal. I want to be super duper normal. I want your hand all over what I do. I want the wow factor on all that I do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm here. I'm at the altar. I don't want to pastor just out of the everyday ability that I have. I want to lay it down. I want to lay down afresh today the call of God on my life. I want to just lay it down. Because, Lord, if I'm doing it in my own ability, my own strength, or I'm trying to make it happen, it doesn't mean a thing. It won't have any eternal manifestation. God, I lay it at your feet. All I really want is you. Whatever you've put in my hand, I want to release it to you. I want to give it to you. You do something for me, just kind of reach out your hand like you're giving it away. Just lay it down. Just like I'm giving it away. Say, I surrender that to you right now, Lord. Thank you. I trust you. And I know that you want my very best, and I trust you. And I just release it now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Just look into his face. Just say, I so trust you. I so love you. I adore you above everything else. I want you to do something. You ready? I want you to reach out, pick it up. Come on, just reach out, just like a prophetic act. Just reach out, pick it up, like you're picking it up right now. Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. That was just the rod of Carl when I put it down, but I just picked it up, and it's the rod of God. It's the instrument that he has blessed me with to use for his honor and his glory, to bring deliverance, freedom, and liberty everywhere I go. Lord, I use it as a steward. I use it faithfully to demonstrate the manifest grace of God. Thank you for each one here. There's many here that have gifts and abilities and strengths. There's not one here today that isn't incredibly significant. There's not one here today that couldn't change a nation when they surrender everything to you. Because, Lord, all you need is one person. You and just one other person is a majority no matter what we face. And I thank you for history makers and life changers right here. People who know that there's people who laid down a needle and a thread and thought, well, I didn't think a needle and a thread was that cool, but I just thought it was something, it was a hobby I had, but they've laid it down. There's people who laid down, you know, things that seem simple, but God wants to make them profound and significant and eternal. Laid down jobs, careers, callings. Just, you know, I give up. I'm not going to do this in my own strength. I yield it to you. But we pick it up, saturated in glory and saturated in power. Now, Lord, use me this week, today. Use me for great things, wonderful things. In Jesus' name.